Good morning, everyone. On behalf of the Administrative Board, it is my pleasure to introduce our guest speaker this morning, Pastor Jackie Kenyon. We are honored to have her and her husband, Herb, with us today as we take the opportunity to appreciate our leadership team. Jackie grew up in the faith at Faith Chapel Open Bible in Youngstown, Ohio. For those of you who enjoy fun facts, Dan and Debbie Slater were Jackie's pastors before they came to the Fort. Both Jackie and her husband Herb received the call to ministry in 1983 and entered into full-time ministry in 1992. Jackie served as a pastor's wife for 20 years, as a youth pastor for 12 years, and in February of 2012, after Herb retired from pastoring, Jackie became the lead pastor of the Open Bible Church in Iowa Falls, a role in which she faithfully served until her recent retirement this past summer. Jackie currently serves as the Minnesota-Iowa District Director for Central Region. The Kenyons have three adult children and six grandchildren and have just recently moved to Ankeny to be closer to two of the grands. Jackie is a woman of the word, she is an encourager, and she is genuinely a lovely person. Will you help me in welcoming Jackie?
I don't know if I can live up to all this.
I'm just me.
Those of you who know me, who have known me for a while, know I'm just me. There's nothing extra here, let me tell you. It's nothing but God that got me where I am. I'm going to set this out here because I'm going to use it towards the end. This is weird. I'm not used to being up here. So I might scoot down here if that's okay with you, all right? Because I'm thinking I don't have to use that. I can come down here, can I? Am I allowed to move around? Because that's kind of what I do. Thank you, first of all, for all of you being here this morning. I want to thank you for allowing me to come and share a little bit of my heart. And it's really neat after being a pastor's wife for as many years as I was, and then as the lead pastor, some of the things I get to share today, I couldn't share. Now, you may be going, why couldn't you share? How many times are you as the pastors here going to stand up and say, this is how I should be treated? This is what I do? You don't do that, do you? Have you done that over the years? No, because it's just not what you do. And I spent the last 6-8 months in the church in Iowa Falls actually doing some of that with our board because I was out. And I wanted them to make sure that they took care of the next person coming in. Not that they didn't take care of us, but I wanted to make sure that they knew what God held them accountable for. So today is about teamwork. It's about having your team's back, about understanding who they are. You know, teamwork makes the dream work, we always say. But teamwork is a group of people who, teams are a group of people who perform interdependent tasks to work towards accomplishing a common mission, having mutual respect, aligning goals, open communication, and patience can help all for a successful team. Your leadership team here at the Fort is Pastor Matt, Pastor Chad, and Pastor Christy, and they are awesome leaders, aren't they? Amen. Amen. Okay? So today we're going to share a little bit about the call of God and the particular mission that a pastor has. Is that okay with you? That okay with you? Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your gifting of the team that you have put into Fort Des Moines. And Lord, I pray that you would bless them beyond measure. God, that you would use this church to be a beacon on this side of town. Lord, that they would be able to reach those that are hurting. And Lord, I pray that each one that is here today would walk away with a little nugget in their heart of knowing that they can always do better to share the gospel. They can always do better to be a light to a lost and dying world. And Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this team and for this church. In Jesus' name, amen. So when a man or woman receives the call of God to pastor, it's exactly that. It's a call of God. And when that person takes up that position to serve in that calling, they take on a mantle as pastor. You've heard that before, haven't you? That, you know, I've taken on the mantle of pastor. But the cool thing is that no one but God can prepare you for it. No one but God can prepare you for it. And I'll catch you by surprise. It'll catch you by surprise, even if you've kind of known about it for some time. As you noticed, Herb and I got the call of ministry in 1983, but we didn't go into ministry full-time until 1992. That's because he spent those years growing and learning and getting discipled and finishing out his military time so he could retire from the military. But it takes grit. It takes grit to take on that mantle that God's going to give you. It is not a prideful call. If anyone has ever thought that being called into ministry is a prideful call, no, absolutely not. It is one that will knock you to your knees, and it will keep you humble because you cannot do it within yourself. You enter into it with fear and trembling, just as the Word tells us to work out our faith. So I want to take a look for just a minute at the call of God through the book of Kings. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 19 through 21 said, Elijah left and found Elisha plowing a field with a pair of oxen. There were 11 other men in front of him, and each one was also plowing with a pair of oxen. Elijah went over and put his own coat on Elisha. Elisha stopped plowing and ran after him. Let me kiss my parents goodbye and I'll go with you, he said. You can go, Elijah said, but remember what I've done for you. Elisha left and took his oxen with him. He killed them and boiled them over a fire he had made with the wood from his plow. He gave the meat to the people who were with him, and they ate it. And then he left with Elijah and became his assistant. In this passage of Scripture, that coat was the mantle that he put over him. He put this coat over him as this mantle. It was a symbol in that day of the calling that God had on his life. And it was a transfer of power. When we have a calling from God and we step into that calling, there's a transfer of power that he has to give us through the Holy Spirit so we can do what we need to do. Now, I never understood that. I walked as a pastor's wife for a lot of years. I worked in a lot of different leadership positions. I worked as a youth pastor. But I never understood a calling of a pastor over a church until the day I walked into it. When Herb retired, we were at a board meeting. I was there as a youth pastor, and this was just a weird thing that normally doesn't happen in Open Bible because I knew I wasn't done, and he knew he was. And I remember sitting in that board meeting, and I was nervous because I had a little notebook with my information in it, but I wasn't going to share it unless God had opened a door. And one of the board members, after Herb read his letter that he was retiring, one of the board members looked over and said, Jackie, why don't you take it? I'm like, this isn't about me. This is about Herb. Let's finish the board meeting. We continue with the board meeting, and at the end of the board meeting, I looked over at that very same board member, and I said, you might want to look at this. And it was my resume. I was very blessed. The church went through looking at other pastors. They did the Q&A. They did the interview. I came as a candidate to pastor, just like anybody would. And they voted me in. Glory be. And then I walked into the call. And when I walked into that call, I can't even begin to describe what fell on me at that point in time. Because he had told me for 20 years, you don't understand what it feels like. You don't understand what it feels like. And I'm like, I walk alongside you every day. I see what you go through. I see the good things. I see the bad things. You don't understand. And I really, truly didn't. And it's interesting because in this passage of Scripture, when Elisha's plowing that field, he doesn't understand what that mantle's truly going to feel like. But the interesting thing is he does what he needs to do. And that's what everyone who ends up with the call of God on their life does, is there's things that they have to take care of. Some of them that quick, some of them over time. But what did Elisha do? He took the plow that he had been plowing with, he broke it up, and he made what? He made a fire. And he took the oxen that he had with him, and he cut them up, and he put them on the fire as a sacrifice. He was showing everyone around him, this is done for me. I am no longer doing this. This is no longer where I'm called to be or what I'm called to do. I have something new. I have a mantle that's been put on me. I have a call in my life that's totally different. And then he said goodbye to his family and his friends. He feasted with them with his party, and he left on to the call that God had for him. He had no idea what was going to happen. He had no idea where he was going to go or what he was going to do, but God was in charge. Today at Fort Des Moines, Pastor Matt Sanford, Pastor Chad Davison, and Pastor Christy Hibbs wear mantles. Each of them have their own unique calling from the Lord. And this mantle wearing has some responsibilities. It's life-changing. It's rewarding. It's exhausting. And it's life-changing. And here are some responsibilities that they shoulder. And I'm sure you know some of these. Probably a lot of what I say today isn't going to be anything new. But I want it to maybe be refreshing for you to understand. The first thing is accountability. In James 3:1, it says, "My friends, we should not all try to become teachers. In fact, teachers will be judged more strictly than others." Now, we know that leaders are held to a higher level, but we aren't perfect, are we? None of us are perfect. But to strive to daily die to self, in this verse in James, it refers to the tongue and how easy it is when someone comes up against you to want to fight back. We were in the drive-thru at Panera this morning at 9:33. I usually roll through things pretty easily, but I wanted to be here by 9:40. The person in front of us was still in line at 9:40. We made it here in 5 minutes really quick, let me tell you. And I was like so frustrated, and I got to the window, and she handed me my stuff, and I'm like, "That really took a while. Thank you very much. Have a good day." And then I looked at Herb and I said, "That probably didn't sound very friendly, did it?" And he goes, "Well, Alicia said thank you." No. But it's one of those things where we have to watch our tongues. We are held accountable. And as pastors, many times we get bit at a lot. So as I'm going to tell you later, be careful how you treat your pastors, because we're just human, okay? But they're held in an accountability that is different. Steadliness. 2 Timothy 2:15, "Do your best to win God's approval as a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed and who teaches only the true message." Leaders need to be disciplined in the Word of God. They need to handle it with truth, knowing how to share it, how to defend it. Each one of us are responsible for knowing the Word. But there's a difference when you have that mantle on you and you're walking and having to be able to give an answer. And you want to know something? If your pastor, one of your pastors, look at one of your team looks at you and says, "I'm going to get back to you on that," respect them. Because our minds only hold so much. And the Holy Spirit will bring to mind the things that you have learned, will he not? He's great at that, isn't he? You're in a situation, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit gives you a verse, and you're like, "Where did that come from? I haven't thought of that for years." But there are other times that that person you're talking to, you may be asking that question, and God wants you to wait a little bit. Maybe he wants you to do a little stewing over it. Maybe he wants you to do a little research over it. So team, don't ever be embarrassed about saying, "I'll get back to you on that one," because none of us have all the answers. Only God does. Working with all you have. 1 Peter 4:10-11. "Each of you have been blessed with one of God's many wonderful gifts to be used in the service of others. So use your gift well. If you have the gift of speaking, preach God's message. If you have the gift of helping others, do it with the strength that God supplies. Everything should be done in a way that will bring honor to God because of Christ Jesus, who is glorious and powerful forever. Amen." The giftings that God gives to each of us, they are not for ourselves. They are for the body. If you have a gift, it's for the others sitting around you. It's for the church body. And these leaders are called here to minister through their spiritual gifts, through the truth of the word, for growth, encouragement, discipling, disciplining, and inspiration. And it can be exhausting sometimes because their jobs are not 8 hours a day. They're not 5 days a week. They are 365 days a year, 24/7. And if you don't believe that, have an emergency happen and see who shows up. Because I can guarantee you they'll be there. I like this one, holding the fort. Ha ha. You know, the little pun on the fort. Anyhow, 2 Timothy 4:3. The time is coming when people won't listen to good teaching. Instead, they will look for teachers who will please them by telling them only what they are itching to hear. How do we know that any better than today? People run from place to place to hear what they want to hear because they want to feel better. They don't want to hear the truth of the word. And the word of God is many times not very popular today because people don't want to have their feelings hurt. But there is such a thing as loving the Lord your God and loving people. There's also a thing as letting them know that sin will kill them. Tackling discouragement. 1 Kings, back in 1 Kings 19, verse 4. Then Elijah walked another whole day in the desert. Finally, he came to a large bush and sat down in its shade, and he begged the Lord, "I've had enough, just let me die. I'm no better off than my ancestors." Now we know in this story that Elijah had just come through some major, major wins. He had gone against all the prophets of Baal, and what happened? Nothing for them, but woohoo for Elijah. I mean, he took them all out afterwards. And then they were looking for rain, and he tells Ahab, "There's rain coming." And he sends his servant up the mountain to keep looking for the clouds. And finally, the cloud appears, just like a small fist, and then it pours. He's had some major victories, but then he runs and he hides and he feels sorry for himself. When I look at this verse, I see a grown man pouting. But why? There's a word that a friend of mine taught me. How many of you have heard the acronym that goes with the word HALT? I think it is powerful. It is absolutely powerful. HALT means hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. If you are hungry, don't make a decision. Don't do something difficult. Get a snack. If you're angry, walk away. Deal with what you have to deal with. If you're lonely, call a friend. Do something that will give you some fellowship. If you're tired, rest. So basically what happens is that when we are overworked, when we are under stress, when they are literally trying to tackle the discouragement of maybe people that they're dealing with and loving on, there are times where they have to literally get a snack and take a nap so they can keep moving. And I'm going to encourage you to do that, all three of you. If you have to go home and kick your feet up and take a 10-minute nap, you're going to be better for your family because of it. It's okay. And many people in our world today think that, you know, no, that's not okay. We have to just keep pushing forward. Busyness is not going to get us anywhere. And then fortitude, keep on keeping on. Philippians 3, 12 through 14. I have not yet reached my goal, and I am not perfect. But Christ has taken hold of me, so I keep running and struggling to take hold of the prize. My friends, I don't feel I've already arrived, but I forget what is behind and I struggle for what is ahead. I run toward the goal so I can win the prize of being called to heaven. This is the prize God offers because of what Christ Jesus has done. This is also reflected in Acts 20:24, but I don't care what happens to me as long as I finish the work the Lord Jesus gave me to do. And this work is to tell the good news about God's gift of undeserved grace. Know your end goal and finish well. Keep your hand to the plow, but keep moving. We know the past. We understand the past. But don't keep revisiting it and don't stay there because it's going to trip you up. It's all about knowing the call of God on your life to bring the good news. It's all about knowing that you have been set free and you have been chosen to do what God has on your life at this particular time. Your pastoral team have responsibilities to care for themselves and their walk first so that then they can care for you. However, you as a church family have some responsibilities as well. And the first one is to not hold them on a pedestal. They're human. If you look around, we're all the same. We all have eyes and ears and nose and mouth. We all walk. We all talk. Maybe we do some things more than others, but we're all human. We all have a heart. Hopefully we all have some compassion. So don't put them on a pedestal, but do keep them in a place of honor. In John Bevere's book, it says, when we oppose God's delegated authority, we oppose God himself. God has blessed your church with your team, and honor them not just today, but all year round. As you apply this honoring principle, you will receive the blessings of God. In 1 Timothy 5:17, it says, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and in doctrine. Honor them because it's what the word of God tells you to do. And I'm going to give you a few very practical ways that you can do that. Now, you may be good at this already. I don't know. Would I have any clue? No. Christy, Chad, Matt haven't said anything to me about it. When I was even asked to do this, they never said whether you were an honoring church or not. I was just asked to come and share. But I know that these things are so important, and we can always get better at it even if we're good. Ooh, that went loud for a second, didn't it? It moved to my mouth. So number one, we want to honor by giving time and praying for them. The best gift that you can give to your pastors is to pray for them. And it may seem like a no-brainer, but it makes a huge difference in what they do. I had a gal in Iowa Falls who every Sunday morning would send me, friend, I'm praying for you. She'd get to church and she'd pull me off to the side. Can I pray for you? She's in the field right now. She works with a team, which is really, it's crazy. We had a team in our church back there that have a precision manure company. So they're in the fields right now. They've been in the field for like 30 some days. But what did we have the last 2 days? Rain. Guess what they can't do today? She texted me at 7:30 and said, guess what I get to do? I get to be in church this morning. And I said, guess what I get to do? I get to go share the word this morning. And what did she do? She prayed for me. She prayed for me. Pray for your pastors, because they're able to do what they do better when you lift them up in prayer. Honor their family. Honor their family. Of the team that is here today, would the kiddos stand up if you don't mind? I don't want to embarrass you, but if you are a child of one of these couples, would you stand up? Even though you're older, that's still how it is. I want the church to look at the five of them, because I want you to understand something. All they are when it comes to the ministry is their kids. Don't expect them to be something else. Don't put things on them that they don't need to carry. They're going to grow up their own way. They're going to do their own thing. Let them be who they are. Love them as who they are. Okay? They're amazing. And they're going to live out their lives, and they're going to follow Jesus, and they're going to do what Jesus tells them to do, and they're going to have some slip-ups, and that's okay, because how many of you can raise your hand today and say, I never had a mistake? That's because you're young. No, I'm just teasing. Okay? You can sit down. Let's just acknowledge them for who they are, okay? Because I want to tell you something. PKs have one of the hardest lives out there. And it is not necessarily always because of the church. Because when that parent takes on that mantle, there's a little dripping down sometimes, I think. And they take on some responsibilities that maybe they don't need to have. So honor their family, honor their spouses and their children, be respectful of their days off, know whether they want to be involved or not want to be involved. As a pastor's wife, many times you always got the ear of the congregation. Did you know what your husband did? Did you know what he said? I hope I'm not stepping on toes, but I'm just going to be honest because I can. Treat their families with respect. And do not expect their children to be anything but children and teens and young adults and adults. Now, before I go on, I have to share a couple stories because that's who I am. And our daughter is our youngest. She's 26. And when we went into the church in Iowa Falls, she was two, not two yet. We had a little lady there who just loved out the little kids. Now, our daughter had an issue of not wanting anybody in her face. So after service, Herb is at the back of the church. He's got her right here, and he's holding her, and this little lady comes over, and she grabs, "You are so cute!" And our daughter went, whack, right across her face. Now, that was really embarrassing for us, but if anybody knows her backstory, that was totally, totally warranted. And I know Wilma's shaking her head. Wilma knows. But I respected my husband because the next Sunday morning he got up and he said, "Please don't get in Jackie's space. Because if you do, you might get slapped." Now, that was a funnier side of her not wanting to be. However, this is another interesting thing that happens when you are a child in a pastor's home, is we lived in the parsonage, which was right next door to the church. And those of you who know the church in Iowa Falls, there's a tunnel. If you go to the basement of the church, you can walk across in the tunnel to the house, or vice versa. Well, at that point in time in our ministry, when Herb and I went into the church up there, the median age was about 61, 62. When I just left in August, the median age was 31. So needless to say, we did a lot of funerals. And we had this little foyer area, and you know how it is. If you have a funeral in the church, where's the casket? In the church, right? It got to a point 1 month where my daughter actually said, "Mommy, who's in the hallway today?" We had to literally go over and see who it was that had passed every time there was a casket, because she got so used to it being there. To this day, death is very natural for her because she watched it growing up. Now, I am sure that if I asked each of you, you would have different stories of what your children have seen through the years of ministry. So we never know what our families go through, but honor them and respect them. Honor your team by recognizing them, not just in October or November for pastor appreciation, but honor them all year round. You can do a text, a note, a card, a book, or verbally just let them know they're appreciated. Send them a little card or whatever. And then to honor the team by showing your love for them. 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. Of course, we all know this. It's always been used for weddings and everything like that. But love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. And it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Your team is a blessing to you. Love them and care for them and pray for them. And as we get ready to close today, I want to share a verse of scripture about that. Hebrews 13:17 says, "Obey your leaders and do what they say. They are watching over you, and they must answer to God. So don't make them sad as they do their work. Make them happy. Otherwise, they won't be able to help you at all. The more earnestly the people pray for their pastor, the more benefit they will see in the ministries. Those who have a good conscience because they have served well, the duties are still in desperate need of the prayers of others. And when leaders come to a people who pray for them, they come with greater satisfaction of themselves, and you see greater success in the church." If I could have the team and their spouses come up for a minute, I would like to pray for them this morning. Let's give them a hand. Awesome. Thank you all for what you do. Thank you for your hard work and your dedication. And I pray that God would bless each one of your marriages, would bless the work of your hands, because you carry a weight that frankly, nobody understands. And there's time frames when you're struggling with something and the only one who hears it is your spouse and it gets old, right? But you need each other. And I'm excited about what God is going to do. So let's pray. Father, I thank you so much. I thank you, Lord, for Pastor Matt. Thank you for Jessica. Lord, I pray that you would bless their household, their family, whatever they may put their hands to, Lord, that you would watch over and guide and direct them, Lord. Thank you for all that they do for the body of believers. Father, I thank you for Pastor Chad and for Cheyenne. And Lord, I pray that you would protect them and watch over them. Lord, that you would just minister to them health and healing. Lord, that you would watch over their steps, that you would order them. We thank you for their life. We thank you for what they do, for what they represent. Lord, for Pastor Christy and for Dave, Lord, we ask that you would bless them in their household. God, that you would give them the wisdom and the energy and the fortitude to do what needs to be done. God, that they would move forward with their hand to the plow. That you would keep them safe. Lord, I pray for this team, Lord, that they would sense the power of the Holy Spirit working on them in everything that they do. And Lord, that there would not be a morning that they wake up, that they would not dedicate that day to you first before they do anything else. And Lord, that you would fill this church to overflowing. Lord, that you would fill it with your mighty miracle-working power. And God, that you would bless them. Lord, that there would be blessings and never curses over this body, but instead, Lord, that you would raise them up to be who you've called them to be. And Lord, we just thank you and we praise you for bringing them to this place, to this time, for the mantle and the calling that they wear. Lord, may they walk in it and may this body pray for them as they do. And may they honor them and walk with them. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen and amen.